Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Getting It Done, and I'm your host, Dr. Walter Dean. Due to the riots that are occurring throughout this country, we thought it would be interesting to discuss the historical implications for riots in this country. So when did riots begin in this country? And why? The first recorded riot that I've been able to locate took place in Boston, Massachusetts, of all places. So today we're going to do a brief discussion of some of the riots that have occurred, and you'll notice that most of them occurred because of food. And many have took place in the northern part of the United States, but later on, they move southward. And besides that, what we're going to do is spend some time on just briefly going over these riots. And then we're going to look at some of the things that are presently happening in our society. So this means that black people are not the only people in this country that were involved with riots, because the first riot in this country that was ever recorded was in 1710, and that was in Boston, Massachusetts, and it was called the Bread Riot, and this was over the storage of food and the price increase of bread, of all things. But people got killed because of this particular riot. Started in 1710, and once again in 1713. And in Boston, once again, a riot took place in 1770, and that was called the Boston Massacre. The first person killed in the Boston Massacre was called Crispus Attucks, a black man who was fighting for freedom and liberty with all the people who were supposedly connected with the English government, and we were fighting for the freedom of being disconnected, which was called the independence, away from the British Empire. Can you imagine that? 1770, a black man died to try to get freedom for everybody, not just black people in this country, but everybody in this country. He was the first person killed by the British troops. And here we are in the year 2020 being treated as less than animals. It's unreal. Also, there was a riot in 1775 called the Flour, F-O-U-R, in New York City. Prices increased and brought on an actual depression. And in 1888, this one is called the Shag Revolution in Western Massachusetts. And then one in 1786, a paper tax, and the first known civil rights injustice riot. And by the way, who was receiving the injustice? At that particular time, most of the people who were living in the North were free black people. Slaves were beginning to think about seriously running away, and some probably did. I have no record to show that, but because Sojourner Truth and some of the other Underground Railroad people didn't start until the 1800s. But this particular riot in 1786 was a riot on civil rights injustice. Civil rights and justice after a man had been shot in 1770 for his life for this independence of this country. In 1788, there was one called the Doctors' Riots, and this was because people in doctors' offices were selling dead bodies. They were just consuming the bodies of people out of graveyards and using them to do their experimentation on what caused their death, etc., etc. In 1794, there was a whiskey revolution, and that was in Pennsylvania on the tax of liquors. And in 1831, all of you should know about this one, was called the Nat Turner Slave Revolt. And that was where 70 slaves killed 65 people. 51 of them were white. In fact, when that occurred, there were a whole lot of people, and this occurred in Virginia, by the way. And there was a lot of people who were just literally afraid, because at that particular time, black people outnumbered white people in this country. Some of them slaves, and some of them free. In 1837, New York, unemployment started right because of unemployment. And also wages that went down. And banks, over 343 banks were closed. And in 1834, there was an abolitionist revolution of riots where white people ransacked black neighborhoods. Rioters attacked homes and churches of black people. So this was going on back in 1834, and here we are in the year 2020. And so it wasn't the rioting was not actually developed by white people, but white people did it and did it against white people. And you have to remember that now in 1834 in New York, this is when this happened. In 1827, slavery was abolished in New York. The whole state of New York was slavery had stopped. And here, that was one of the reasons why when over 35,000 Irish people came to this country, were looking for space for themselves to actually live. And many of them were, and along with Italians, were the ones that were rioting against black people. So that gives you sort of an understanding of the indication of what riots occurred in this country. In fact, historically, riots go all the way back to Julius Caesar in Rome, and that occurred in the year 444 B.C. And so riots are no big thing. It's just that I didn't want you to think that black people were the only ones who were ever attached to slavery. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go on and look at some things that are happening presently today. You might find it extremely interesting. Every now and then I will stop and give sort of an indication to you about the things that were going and are going on and how they relate to us as human beings. I'm talking about all of us. Let's give a listen.
That's part of society, or at least according to this woman. Welcome back to What's Trending. I'm Martine Bierman. Make sure to subscribe for more stories about people who have a false sense of their own importance. This woman, Susan Westwood, allegedly drunk called 911 after harassing sisters Lisa and Shelley Garrett, who were waiting for AAA in a shared apartment complex. Westwood went on to call 911.
And they are actually people that I've never seen here before, but they are African American.
But the sisters, who have video proof to back this up, told the police a completely different story.
I'm in front of my home. My car is dead. I'm calling AAA, and you hear this lady bothering me in front of my door. Do you hear her? Please call the police.
I don't know about you.
We have an officer that's in the area.
If you want to know my personal opinion, there's no car broken down. There's somebody trying to cause problems. There's no car broken down. Nobody breaks their car down in the best part of society.
But in fact, and it's ridiculous that we even have to confirm this, it was confirmed that, in fact, their car was broken down. And Westwood's phone call later revealed the real underlying reason that she called.
Whatever you need to do and charge me back, just do it. Because they don't belong here.
The police charged Westwood with communicating threats and simple assault after she called police and falsely claimed that the women were trying to break into nearby residences. But that's not nearly the end of the repercussions that she's facing. Remember that job that she was like, oh, I'm gonna make 125 grand, she kept boasting about?
I'm still gonna make $125,000. I'm still gonna make $125,000 Monday morning.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore. Charter Communications released this statement. The incident recorded in Charlotte is a blatant violation of Charter's code of conduct and clearly disregards the company's commitment to inclusion and respectful behavior. As such, Ms. Westwood's employment with the company has been terminated effective immediately. But another development has been keeping the police from implementing these charges. Because Susan Westwood is MIA, as in, like, gone zone. So keep your eyes peeled, because police are actually asking anybody for help with her whereabouts. And if you do know, then call 911. But of course, this is just another recorded event in the slew of harassment claims from white people who are claiming that black people are somehow breaking the law while doing just regular everyday things and trying to live their best life. Recently, a story went viral about a woman who called the cops after a young boy accidentally brushed her with his book bag, and she mistook it for sexual harassment. The woman later apologized, but not without making a ton of headlines. And how about this story earlier in October, where someone mistakenly called the cops on a man babysitting because they assumed he was kidnapping the kid? It's 2018. Black people work with white people. White people work with black people. People have mixed marriages, adopt kids of all different races and colors. That is the best part of our society right now. So please, just open your mind. The epidemic has gotten so bad that the New York Times even posted a fake hotline for people to call when they're feeling intimidated by black people. The New York Times decided to make a satirical video offering a new emergency hotline for when it's not an emergency, it's just harassment.
Hi, I'm Nancy Nash, actress, inventor, and advocate for not calling 911 on black people for no goddamn reason.
The number is 1-844-WHITE-FEAR, and you can really call it.
Thank you for calling 1-844-WHITE-FEAR. We are here to address your urgent concerns about black or brown people living their life near you.
The video and hotline serve as a comedic way to address the, quote, phenomenon of white people harassing African Americans just going about their day. Vox recently released an article from someone with firsthand experience answering racist 911 calls daily. In every city in America, 911 rings around the clock. Dispatchers are usually too short-staffed to take real breaks, and they can't shut the center for weekends and holidays. And the saddest part? Dispatchers are taking round-the-clock calls of people who are simply just reporting that a black person is in their vicinity. Plenty of cops don't really want to respond to these calls. It's a waste of their time. But they have to. Of course, people should call 911 if it's an actual emergency, but think before you call the cops to handle your feelings about a barbecue or where someone is parked or if they're playing music on a Saturday afternoon. If you get it wrong, and all of us living in the privileged bubbles of our own creation often get it wrong, you could be the reason someone gets hurt or even killed. This situation, like so many others that we've reported on, makes me incredibly sad. But my hope is that with us reporting on this and maybe you sounding off in the comments, we can work towards kind of changing communal behavior from 2018 moving into 2019. What do you guys think about South Lake Susan, and where do you think she's gone? Let us know in the comments, and for more trends, head to whatstrending.com. Nobody breaks down.
You might find that extremely interesting. That was recorded November the 2nd, 2018, 2 years ago. So that gives you a brief picture as to how long so far these kind of situations have been occurring. And we can go back further than that. That was a presentation call, a racist woman calls 911 on two black women who are waiting for AAA. So if you're just sitting around waiting, you better be completely alert to what might be happening in your presence, because different things are now beginning to happen and happen very expeditiously. Let's go on. Here's another one that you might find extremely interesting.
You want to get That's how we create attitude. It's a product that makes it so you never...
So let's skip that. Listen to this.
What's going on?
Now she don't want to talk.
She doesn't want to talk now. It's illegal to have a charcoal grill in the park here. No, it's not, actually. I just looked at the map. It says this is a designated barbecue area.
No, it's not for a charcoal grill. No charcoal grills are allowed. Do you want to see it? You must not have looked at
what kind of grill are you not allowed, and why are you so bent out of shape over them being
because
here?
Because it causes extra money from our city to do things when children get injured because of property.
So are you saying that they're going to hurt children out here? Or I mean, like, what's this?
There's laws about this park, and
I know the laws about this park.
And charcoal grills are not allowed here.
So they should go buy a new grill because I just looked at it and it doesn't say anything.
Grills in here. I don't care.
Are you sure it's not because you don't want black people being out here?
It has nothing to do with their race.
It seems like a new Jim Crow going on because for some reason every time I see it, black people are the ones targeted regarding barbecuing at the lake. And you're a perfect example of it right now. It's two men sitting out here just chilling, and this whole setup is real clean.
I'm
see,
sure
they don't have loud music. You want to call the police on them.
I have called
them. You want to call the police on them for having a barbecue on a Sunday at the lake.
Yes.
I just looked at the map, and it said this map is fine to barbecue.
No, it's not.
It does.
Not for charcoal.
Not a
charcoal. You can have a non-charcoal grill, but not a charcoal grill.
Okay, well, this is exactly what's the problem with Oakland today. This lady right here wants to sit here and call the police on them for having a barbecue at the lake as if this is not normal.
This lady has been arrested.
Yeah, and she's just sitting out here. And I just looked, and the map says it's on barbecue. It doesn't say anything about food. She's 2 hours. She's just out of this little barbecue right here. They're not even doing a big event.
Go home with your potato salad. This is where you can have a grill. It's on wheels.
Not
have charcoal on it.
Okay, let's have a charcoal debate because these guys are sitting out here peacefully having a barbecue.
I have a problem with us having a barbecue.
I'll think about that, too.
Does anybody have a problem with them having a barbecue? Like, is there a reason why we're calling the police? If you call the police for 2 hours and you're sitting here, the police aren't coming for you, my dear. They don't want any parts of it.
It's all these happy white people. Charcoal here. Okay.
It's not allowed. It's illegal to have charcoal in this part of the park.
No?
No.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't say anything on the map, and you're really bent on this.
You can have a non-stationary charcoal in this part of the park.
You can't.
It's
such a welcome.
You'll be clean.
No,
you're so clean.
It's the charcoal police.
Go. Shoot.
It's the charcoal police. No, it's okay. She's entitled to be here, and we're entitled to be here, too. This is a problem that everybody
needs. People's personal equipment.
And then it's not like they're dropping coals or making. I mean, like.
She's not from around here. That's some gentrification shit.
Because of my park. My park.
She said this was her park?
Yeah, I
so how did she talk to you guys? Was it a different?
Well, I was out here by myself, and came up here. I'm like, look, man, I'm minding my own business. That's like I've been here 42-something years. I know where I can and cannot barbecue at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She was like, if it gets a lot, I'm going to go home and call the police. I'm like, you know what? Do what you want to do. Fire department rolled by here about 2 or 3 times, looked at me, waved, and kept going.
Right. There you go. There you have it. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the barbecue. Welcome.
And to be fair, I was walking by and I saw her harassing him and stuff. He's done nothing. He's been sitting there chilling the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure y'all feel a lot of pressure to not do anything in the first place because as soon as anything happens, you know, it's like going to be somebody's fault and it's not going to be her.
Right. Gentleman the entire time despite her being super aggressive. With him, everything.
So her attitude was totally different before I got here.
It was really aggressive towards
you.
Wow. Really.
So you gave me the white lady attitude. Thank you. That's why I came out here to show a difference. A white woman comes out here and she acts totally different. No, it's wrong. It's all about the charcoal. Oh my gosh. We witnessed it right here.
It's charcoal grill. In the park for charcoal grill.
Yeah, she just took a card out of my hand so that she could try and get this guy.
So you offered it to show it to
me. I showed it to you. I didn't say take it out of my hand. You stole the card. Can you please give it back? Because I would like it.
Sure. I'll just take a picture. Please do not touch me, otherwise I will call 911 for it.
How about you give me the card without being a dusting ass bitch?
Get out of my face.
I'm in your face because I'm asking you to give me my property without taking
pictures
so that you can try and cause trouble to people. Give me my card without
get out of
picture
my face.
Of it. I would
not touch me again.
I'm
not touching me again.
I'm not touching you, but I will be in your face. I will be in your face right now. Give me.
I'm going to stop right there and indicate a few things to you. Back in the 30s and the 40s, there was a thing called segregation that started at the turn of the century. It was helped along by one of our presidents called Teddy Wilson, or Woodrow Wilson, not Teddy, Woodrow Wilson. And that segregational aspect continued all the way from the early 20s all the way up until Brown versus the Board of Education in the 1950s or early 60s. And so what we have here, when a woman is at a park in Oakland, California, jumps on some black people who are getting ready to have a cookout on a Saturday at a park, smacks with what used to be a clear segregated structure, which seems like in all the things that I've been watching and paying close attention to, seems like we're moving back towards that. So we can understand now why the President of the United States sort of indicated that he was going to take us back to a better time. So that's where he was thinking about taking us. Let's take a listen to some more of these outrageously stupid things that are related to racism. And you might find this right there.
On May 4th, 2013, 36-year-old Denise Jackson of Henderson, Nevada, heads home after a long, stressful day at work. As she travels along a familiar stretch of country road, she notices lights and sirens approaching from behind. Denise signals for the police officer to pass, but the cruiser remains behind her with its lights flashing. She assumes there must be some mistake. To alleviate any confusion, Denise decides to call 911. What you are about to hear is the actual audio from that call.
Hello, what was your emergency?
I don't have the emergency, but the car behind me does. And I'm trying to figure out what that is because I'm driving 45.
Okay.
And there's an officer that's apparently affiliated with your agency with his emergency lights on and his siren on.
Well, I advise you to pull over. Can you pull over for the officer?
No, because that's voluntary.
This kind of call is a real challenge for a dispatcher. Not only is she refusing to pull over, but she's calling the police on the police. This call could become a dangerous situation really fast because she's in a car driving at high speed, having officers chase her. At any point, could she run into anybody else, cause an accident for the officers, or even head towards them and hurt them. My job as a dispatcher is to defuse the situation and calm the caller down and get him to hopefully surrender and pull over as safely as possible.
I'm running from this cop. I'm going 40 miles an hour with this cop behind me with his freaking siren on, acting like a moron. Can you please let him know to turn it off because I'm not running?
Damn.
In this situation, police protocol could vary. She's the problem, but she doesn't understand that she's the problem.
Ma'am, pull over for the officer.
If there's not an emergency, then why am I going to pull over? I'm not even
police.
If somebody refuses to pull over, an officer can ask for backup, and at that point it becomes a full-fledged pursuit.
Here's another officer. I swear, it's the first thing I could do.
Ma'am, pull over for the officers.
I'm running a stop sign. Because of them, and because of your false sense of emergency.
Ma'am, well, I advise you to pull over.
You know why I'm going to pull over? Because I know that I have to recognize you guys as an authority. But you're
lights and pulls her car over to the side of the road.
Driver, turn off the car. Put your hand down on the window now.
Okay, what is your name again, ma'am?
My name is Gladys.
Give your hand where I can see you.
Refusing to pull over is just a bad idea. You're adding more problems to the pot.
Put your hand on top of your head. Interlace your fingers.
Police chases are a real safety concern. Thankfully, the dispatcher and the officers were able to bring this one safely to an end.
You're under arrest.
When you hear the emergency sirens behind you, pull over.
Denise is arrested for reckless driving and failure to yield to a police officer.
911, you need a police fire medical?
I'm okay, but I am under duress.
What kind of help do you need?
I'm trying to activate my phone, but I need to know what is a SIM card, and I can't find the SIM card.
I can't help you.
Let me stop right there and discuss the first sound that you heard about this woman who was driving at a speed over 55 miles an hour in a 50 or 40 mile an hour area. She happened to be a woman that was white, not black. And in any event, if you did not hear anybody shoot anybody after she got out the car, they handcuffed her and put her in the other car and then go through a whole lot of discussion about the situation. Had that been a black person, woman or male, you don't know whether or not they would have lived through that given situation. I thought it might be appropriate for me to play it so you can actually see the difference of how different people are treated. Let's go on and see if I can pull up something else that might be of a benefit to us looking at the different kinds of things. Here, we're looking at an onlooker harasses parent with different race child. Let's listen to this one.
Thanks for sharing DIY haircuts, your savage moves, and your adorable pets. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies lasting your full policy term. So, thanks again.
We headed 25 miles northeast of Charlotte to the city with a soul, Locust, North Carolina. Justine and her adopted daughter, Morgan, have stopped in for lunch at a local institution, the Old School Mills Fresh House.
Excuse me. Is that your baby?
Yes, it is.
Really? So are you married to a black man?
No, I'm not.
So you adopted her?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You adopted a black baby on purpose?
Yes.
Are you one of these white women who are trying to rescue all the black babies?
Excuse me?
If you saw a diner react like this to a mother and her child...
I just don't think you're prepared to give her what she needs. You're white. She's black.
What would you do?
Excuse me. Is that your child?
Yes.
So you adopted her?
Mm-hmm.
These first customers are immediately aware of Rachel's uncomfortable line of questioning.
You have the option to choose a black baby or a white baby?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
And now they've got a few questions of their own.
Why do you think it's appropriate to treat her in that manner?
Oh, no, I'm just asking her a question.
I heard what you asked. The world's changing. Don't you feel like the world's changing that we need to open ourselves up a little bit better than our little square box all the time? Either you're a good person or you're a person who puts up barriers. Why should there be barriers to the love of a child?
You're making everybody here feel very uncomfortable. You're picking on a white woman just because she has a black child? Isn't there more important things in this earth to worry about?
She's not going to have the same experiences that a black family would have.
She's going to have a childhood with someone who chose to love her. And I think that is the most beautiful part of what I'm seeing over here.
I feel very uncomfortable. I felt agreed.
I apologize for making you feel uncomfortable. I'm just looking out for this child.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
A child can't defend herself. She's under 13. If she didn't have those ears on, I would call the police, because this is a brutality to a whole child. It's done nothing. But you sit there and you say, I just asked questions. I just asked questions. And the child is sitting there, and you're telling her, in front of her mother, what did you do to adopt this child? How dare you sit there and pet him in front of your police?
Hello there. Hello there.
I'm John Pignanis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm taking my own hand. Oh, my God.
You realize that the greater good that comes out of this?
Yes, I've seen it. I saw it back in the 60s. It was horrible. I remember when the first black family moved in our neighborhood. And we were the only family that welcomed them. And all these people that we knew told us to get off the land. You and lovers. Get off our lawn. We don't know you. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say more.
And that's why you have no tolerance for this.
No, I've been there.
An emotional reaction born from memories of racial intolerance. But would the reactions be different?
Excuse me.
If it was an African-American woman criticizing our mother.
What are you, one of those white women trying to save all the black babies?
We bring in Giselle.
I feel like I see it all the time, white women trying to rescue black kids.
I'm not trying to rescue anyone. I don't see color in my family.
You might not see color, but believe me, everybody else does.
Not everybody else does. Some of us don't.
This woman has no problem jumping into the conversation.
I mean, even her hair.
You really need to leave her alone. You really do.
Look, I'm a black woman. I understand.
But you're a rude black woman, so you probably need to be quiet.
You'll never be a real family.
And with that, she's off to complain to the manager. This next diner tries a calmer approach in dealing with Giselle.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff she's going to have to deal with.
A lot of stuff we all have to deal with out here. A whole lot of stuff. If she won't take care of her, she'll take care of her.
This couple listens patiently before disagreeing with Giselle's conclusion.
Honestly, if this young child, she's going to face some discrimination and some situations that her mom is not going to be able to help her prepare for or know how to deal with.
And that's probably true. That's probably true because she's of who she is. But don't we want to mend that? Aren't we heading to get away from that?
And these two think Giselle is part of the problem.
When that little baby starts to deal with discrimination, what is she going to do?
The only discrimination I see right now is from you. I want you to recognize that.
She's taking away our black children.
Will she give a home to a child from people who couldn't take care of her?
And then we learned why this issue hits so close to home.
When you're coming from a woman who can't have children, that hurts me, okay? Hurts me, okay?
All day long, we see people willing to stand up for mother and daughter.
That child has a mom that loves her. It's none of your business.
While putting these women in their place.
You are such a rude.
We're rolling one last time.
Excuse me. Is that your kid?
Yes.
And Rachel is back at it.
So, is she adopted?
She is.
This grandfather watches intently.
I mean, you had an option. You didn't have to get a black child.
Guess not, no.
Trying to rescue the black baby?
With that, he joins in the conversation by sharing his own story.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm not a black child or all of them. You know, some of your questions seem very offensive.
Did you choose to adopt a black
Absolutely.
Baby?
Absolutely. There are all kinds of babies that need families.
But I just feel like they'll never be a real family. Do you feel like...
Absolutely real family. You see, you seem to be very offensive between Rachel.
I don't
Rachel.
Need to be offensive. I really
That's
don't
what
mean.
It comes across as, ma'am. So why don't you just... Why don't you just button it because you're very offensive?
I don't need to be offensive.
Well, then button it. I'm sorry, I just hit button because I'm seeing very offensive. I have a black daughter, and she's married to a black guy, and I've got three black grandchildren, and they're just a wonderful family.
Yeah, exactly.
As he walks away, we're there to greet him.
John Quinones, this is part of a TV show called What Would You Do?
I've seen your show before.
You were amazing. Tell us what you were thinking.
I just know there's too much racial prejudice in this world. And if someone's offensive, they need to be informed that they're offensive.
You adopted a black child?
Absolutely. She means just as much to me as anyone's daughter would mean to them. And I would go to the end of the world for her. Race becomes an issue only if you let it become an issue. And it does not need to be an issue. A child is a child. I don't care what color they are. And why should that make any determination as to how we act one towards another?
What did Gisette say?
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. As a matter of fact, that was done is called the onlooker harasses parent with different race child on what would you do? There should be more discussions like this that are occurring in our society. Instead of us allowing things to go backwards, this kind of discussion would help us go forward. And there are people who are trying, while there are other people who are doing everything they can to destroy what little progress that has been made. Now, here's another one that you might find extremely interesting, where a white waitress wants a black diner to prepare
new Kettle One Botanicals
and prepay.
Real botanicals for a fresh taste. And the most delicious part, it's only 73 calories. New Kettle One Botanicals.
This group of friends. Ooh, let me get the cheese fries.
That sounds good.
Is about to grab a bite to eat after school.
Hi, I'm Barry. Can I take your order?
But this waitress...
I'll have the old-fashioned French toast with syrup and bacon.
...is not going to make it easy.
Just so you know, you guys are going to have to prepay.
It's a story that quickly shot to the top of the news.
An IHOP restaurant asked a group of black teens to prepay for their meal. The waitress was disciplined, according to IHOP, but her manager says he doesn't think the incident was racially motivated.
And it's not an isolated case.
The group was told they'd have to prepay for their meal. That's what Wickham says. He noticed his group of friends were the only black people in the restaurant.
The restaurant was found by authorities to have racially profiled the customer. So today,
prepay.
We're taking on this hot-button issue.
Yeah, we've had issues with people like you guys walking out before paying.
If you witness three teens being treated differently...
Hey, Doug, that'll be $55. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
Then all of the other customers...
Did you guys have to pay for your food before you got it?
No, they bring the check when you're finished.
Okay.
What would you do? We've set up our hidden cameras at the Park Avenue Diner in South Plainfield, New Jersey. And our waitress, Barry, is about to stir up some controversy.
Hi, I'm Barry. What can I get for you guys?
Hey, I'll have the French toast.
But before she puts in the order, she lays her new rule on the table.
Just so you guys know, you're going to have to prepay.
Prepay?
Yeah, prepay.
Like, pay before we eat?
Exactly. I'm going to go add up your order, bring you back your bill, and once you pay, I can place your order for you.
They're all cute and
really.
This mother-daughter duo appears shocked by this special request.
What? How long is that going to take? We're starving. No problem, just a couple minutes.
And they're not about to stay silent.
What? Why do they have to prepay?
Oh, you don't have to.
Why?
You know.
No, I don't.
I've had trouble with people like them.
I'm taking offense to the way you're treating them.
They're high risk.
Oh, my God.
With that, she's on her feet, telling the manager just what went down.
I can't give them their food until they pay.
Certainly not our policy.
I'm leaving if they're treated like that.
She goes back to her table. And now our waitress turns to take these diners' order.
Are you guys ready to order?
No, I'm not cool with that either. Like, this is really kind of upsetting. Why are they being treated differently than everybody else?
Because I've had issues before. No, with people that look just like them.
Oh,
all right, here we go.
And then they all storm off in solidarity with our three teams.
Ma'am, can I talk to you for a second?
I'm Jack Quinones. It's a TV show called What Would You Do? They're actors.
Oh, my God. My heart is in my throat. I want to cry.
What was going through your head?
That we had jumped back to the 1960s and that they were being treated differently because they were black.
Why does it resonate with you?
My parents brought me up that we're all equal. It doesn't matter if your color, your look, anything. It doesn't matter.
Can I get orange juice?
But as we roll again, we wonder if anyone will teach our waitress that lesson.
Just so you guys know, you're going to have to prepay, okay?
Prepay.
She seems surprised by what was just requested.
Like, pay before we eat?
I've had issues with people like you guys, and I don't want to get burned, so I just need you to prepay before I order your food.
They are both clearly bothered by what they're witnessing.
Do you want us to pay with cash? Or
they decide to leave.
No, you just have to pay in advance as long as I get the money.
But not before giving our waitress a piece of their mind.
I actually overheard you saying that you have to prepay things to come in here.
Well, I was just wondering, what was that about?
Well, I've had issues with people like them.
Not what do you mean like them?
She asked our waitress the same question one more time.
What do you mean like them?
You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I don't. I know. We're like them. I really don't think that was appropriate, and I don't feel comfortable. This is a public place. You didn't ask anyone else to prepay.
How are you?
I'm John Quinones. We're doing this scenario because it happened in real life.
Mm-hmm. I know it does. That's why I said I'm not comfortable with someone asking those questions and saying you people.
What were you going to do?
Leave. I'd take my business elsewhere.
Throughout the day, there wasn't a shortage of people who felt the same way. These women have no problem confronting our waitress straight on.
Okay, that's not making sense at all. No, you guys are okay.
Nobody should have to prepay your order. You pay like everybody else.
And these diners are completely outraged.
That's strange. I've never seen that. Prepay?
And this duo, they discreetly record as the situation unfolds.
I've had issues with people like you guys, so...
They let our waitress know exactly what they think of her motive.
They're totally high risk. I don't agree with you. Sorry. When you just look at them.
They look like normal people, just like us.
I'll get a manager for you guys.
Oh, my God. This is so dumb.
I'm the honorary manager today.
Stop. No, please. This is real life right now.
That should give you sort of an idea of how black people were treated in the past. And as strange as it may sound, some of that stuff really happens today. It's sad, but it does. And we have moved so far back from where we were moving to, which is positive, to back to a very negative place in a human relations kind of structure. And the movie here is What Can You or What Would You Do? Is a television series that thought enough to deal with this. And now we're gonna go one little further. And you'll find it extremely interesting. Not only does it happen to black people, but it also happens with other people. Let's find out.
How is everybody?
It's great. The HOA has been very involved. These shrubs aren't board approved. At least Geico makes bundling our home and car insurance easy.
2 inches over regulation!
Thanks, Cynthia.
For bundling made easy, go to geico.com.
Teresa and Kesav are waiting for a table at the Grasshopper Irish Pub in Newfoundland, New Jersey.
Hi, how are you? Okay. What are we here? Oh, okay.
As this man patiently waits to be seated, he notices he's not alone.
Okay, sir. I can sit you now. Oh, yeah. I'm waiting to put them in the back. I don't want them to bother you or anybody else.
As he rises to meet his friend.
You guys ready? I can seat you guys.
He continues standing up for our Muslim couple.
Ma'am, we've been waiting longer.
Is there a reason that you're not feeding us?
I mean, we all watch the news, and I just think, you know, you can make some people uncomfortable.
Both men make it clear that it's Tracy who makes them uncomfortable.
Well, no, sir, I am. I mean, it's not about you guys at all.
I think you're putting yourself in a very bad position.
How so?
Look, there's nothing wrong with them. They're human beings, just like us.
Don't you watch the news, how dangerous that is?
I think you're being ridiculous.
Really?
Ridiculous.
I feel like I have to protect all of our customers.
All right, gentlemen, you were upset.
Yes.
Yes. What were you thinking?
I mean, I know what's going on in this country, and it doesn't have to be that. Just treat people the way they should be treated until they prove otherwise. It's crazy.
It just should not happen to people who aren't doing anything bad. How far were you going to take this?
We're going to leave.
Yeah,
what else could we do? We can't do anything other than protest with our feet.
Yeah, no.
I thought we were going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And they're not the only ones willing to let their feet do the talking.
Excuse me. We've been waiting for a little bit. Is there a reason we haven't been seated?
Yeah, we're just waiting for one of the booths in the back. I don't want you guys to offend other people.
What do you mean by offend?
I mean, we all watch the news. It's kind of uncomfortable.
This is the
audience.
Yeah.
Oh. See? You're making them uncomfortable.
No,
why don't you just... Why don't you just order to go, and you guys can stay.
You're
just No, you guys stay. We definitely want you guys as customers.
No,
I mean, we don't want to.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry that they've offended you. I'm sorry they offended y'all.
This customer walks in with her husband, who leaves her to get the table while he goes to the men's room.
Can I be two? Okay. Would you like to wait while he finishes?
Excuse me, miss.
Yes.
We've been waiting for a while. Is there a reason why we haven't been seated?
I just don't want you to offend all of our other customers or make them uncomfortable. You know,
how would we do that?
With the news and everything, kind of see she's already uncomfortable.
She makes up her mind to leave.
What happens is you see a bunch of this in the news.
And her husband follows without even asking why.
That should give you an indication as to some of the kinds of things that were happening before this health issue took place, where people on one hand have gone to eat at a restaurant and had to sit while other people coming in and had to wait because of their nationality or their color. And that goes on more than you can believe. Things have sort of changed quite a bit now that the sickness is here, so many of the restaurants are not open as they were before. Let's go on and listen to something done with against a Hispanic. Check this out.
My skin gets so tired. This new olay serum feels so dewy and hydrated. It gives my skin an extra boost of life. It's full of energy. It finally matches me. I'm Denise Cadeau, and my skin is powerful. And I can face anything with my olay.
You guys can have a seat right here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to get you started shortly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enjoy. I can't wait to order. I'm so hungry.
Yeah, it's quite totally good food. Hey, how are you folks doing today? My name is Miguel. I'm Manuel Agua Porcavor. Excuse me, it's Miguel, and I'll be your waiter today. And today's special
is a Mexican restaurant or something?
Ma'am, look, you know, nothing personal. Just grab our waters and send over that nice lady to take orders. Sorry, she's supposed to. Is there something wrong?
Honestly? Yeah, you in this country. Lord knows how many real Americans you've taken this job from.
It's happening in restaurants all across the country. People insulting their waiter or waitresses based solely on their ethnicity, sometimes even writing comments on their receipts like, "We only tip citizens." If you saw a couple lashing out at their server simply because he doesn't look American, what would you do?
Oh, I can assure you, I'm American. I don't buy it, boy. Okay, I'm not still wet behind the ears. I pay my taxes, so I've earned my right to be here.
Excuse me, can we have an American waiter?
Today, we're in Apache Junction, Arizona,
and we've taken over the rustic Dutchman's hideout, located at the base of the Superstition Mountains.
Is that tour?
These first customers listen in as our waiter begins taking abuse instead of
a drink order, waiters. Guess I'll be your waiter for today.
I didn't know we were in a Mexican restaurant.
Sorry?
I want to be served by an American.
Did I do anything wrong?
Yeah.
Being in this country, taking jobs from real Americans, yeah.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
She's heard enough. First, taking her complaint to our manager.
We're giving that waiter a hard time pulling these Mexicans from out of the country, and he should be ashamed of himself. I really think you should ask people to leave.
And then consoling our waiter.
That bothers me, and it's inappropriate, and I've asked your manager to have them leave.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
With her good deed done, she returns to her table. But will anyone confront our mean couple?
Can I take your order? Is that okay?
Yeah, you are more than an American enough for me.
We're all Americans here. Where are your ancestors from? What country?
Italy.
If they didn't come over here, where would you be?
They came here legally.
Hey,
you
don't know.
He definitely crossed the border illegally, guaranteed. And if he didn't, his parents did.
You're messed up, man.
We're police, man.
Yeah. You want me to use the rules,
sir? Hi there. Hello, I'm John Quinones.
This dude is messed up. I'm very upset.
I'm sorry.
That's another given situation. You find these situations all over these United States today. It's not something that has stopped. It has gotten to be even worse than it was before. Let's give a listen to a racial profile in a Dollar Tree.
Do you like ads?
I don't.
That's why we created Ad Remover. It's a product that makes it so you never have to.
What can happen? What are you hiding for? Don't hide now. You call the police on people for what?
You need to leave.
Or what?
You need to leave.
Or what?
The cops are on their way right now.
What's that going to do to me?
I don't care. You need to leave.
You called if I didn't leave my bag at the front, I went and bought something.
Exactly.
And why you hide from the camera if you just called the police?
You need to leave.
Shut up. I'll wait for the police to come.
If you don't put that camera down, I will mace you.
What that going to do? Besides, get your ass beat for assaulting me.
I'm not assaulting you. Yeah. You're refusing to leave.
You're on camera in the store. Go ahead and try to mace me. I'm going to hop over this counter and beat the brakes off you. Go ahead and try me.
You need to leave.
You just called the police on me. You talking about you're going to mace me because I'm recording you? Because you over here threatening me? You threatening me.
This is the second time.
What does that have to do with anything? You just called the police.
Leave.
Go ahead and do it. You're going
to
wish you didn't.
You want me
do
to
it.
Leave?
I promise you. I promise you.
Maybe we need to step back. I'm about to make
it. Hey, you're going to get the shit beat out of you.
How am I going to get the shit?
I walked to the back and bought and picked this up. You talking about I had to put my leave my bag when I was already
it's
back there.
Store policy.
He called the police because I did what?
Around my store. They're saying that you need to leave.
Say that because I'm black.
I didn't say anything.
You
about
just told the police I was black.
Because they asked.
I don't need to hear that side.
If you call 911, they're going to ask.
Why are you hiding from the camera if you call 911?
I'm not hiding from the camera.
Why are you bending the basement?
Because you will not leave, and I've asked you.
You didn't call the police. Isn't that their job? You called the police to get me out of here, right? So let them do their job. Go ahead and mace me.
I will, because I better
look
at
you. Do it.
I can't.
Do it.
It's called
self-defense. Do it. And exactly. That's what I'm going to show you, self-defense, if you mace me.
Now you're threatening.
Exactly.
May I wait
for
you? You need
to leave.
Or what? Leave. I'll wait for the police like you told me.
Leave.
You shouldn't have called the police on me if you're going to tell me to leave.
You need to leave.
Or what? I'll wait for the police.
Okay, when they get here, you're going to get charged with trespassing.
Ooh, this is a public store.
No, it's not.
Ooh.
The store, what I sit there and say, you're
going
to charge you for trespassing because I've asked you several times to leave.
You call the police on me. Wouldn't that be leaving the scene of a crime?
No.
So no crime happened. So why are you calling the police?
Because
shut the fuck up. You just made no sense. You made no sense.
Leave.
I'd rather wait for the police. I don't want you lying to me saying I did something I didn't do.
I didn't lie.
I don't want you to.
I don't
feel safe turning my back to you. You just threatened to mace me.
Here we have another situation where a person has gone to a dollar store to buy something and they're being asked to leave a public store. This is smacks directly with what was happening during the 1930s, 40s, and the 50s when black people
could only go to certain stores and purchase anything. They couldn't sit at their counters. There were sit-down strikes that took place during the early 60s to deal with this whole situation, and that seems to be the direction that we're going back to. Here's another given situation about interracial couples discriminated against, and let's listen to this one.
We made our way to Memphis, Tennessee, a beautiful, vibrant city along the Mississippi. But when it comes to the civil rights movement, Memphis has a painful, lasting scar. It was here at the Lorraine Motel that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. But that was almost 50 years ago. How big an issue is race today in Memphis, Tennessee? We're setting up at the Empire Hair Studio.
Hello.
Hairstylist Angela is casually flirting with a new customer.
This your first time here?
Yes.
You are mighty handsome. You know what? You look like a mom. Are you a mom?
I am not.
Hello.
But Sean has a girlfriend.
Hey, baby, how are you?
Good.
Good to see you.
And when she walks in to meet him, Angela just can't take it.
That's your girlfriend? I thought she was your housekeeper.
If you saw this woman forcing her intolerance on an interracial couple, what would you do?
There she is.
Babe,
hey,
darling.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm great.
Right away, Angela makes things uncomfortable.
Please tell me that's not your girlfriend. I'm not racist. I just don't see a lot of white people with black women. Call me old-fashioned. I don't like to see this. They're ruining our culture.
Suddenly, Carol Dannenhauer speaks up.
They? Who is they? They're people just like you and me. And who are they?
Look around here. She's the only black person here.
So, for them what? I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. It's horrible.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
She's so upset, she physically comforts Rachel.
You know, if you'd had a baby, she thinks she's an aunt. I gotta go. Baby.
Rachel pretends she can't take it anymore. Sean is right behind her.
Not paying for it. I'm sorry.
That didn't offend you?
You offended me. You offended me greatly.
You don't have to defend them. They're gone. Nobody can hear.
What? I shouldn't have to defend them. They have their right to live their life. What's he talking? I mean, there are two people here.
Even with our couple out of the picture, Carol can't sit silent. Some people try to reason with our racist.
I'm not racist. Well, you know, everybody
else has to do. How about, what if that was your son? I don't mean to make you all uncomfortable. I just think what I say. You're not with me on this.
It's time to introduce ourselves.
And it's becoming more and more common and more accepted.
Well, sure. I mean, to each their own. Everybody has the right to do what they want to do.
To each their own. But today, Angela just won't let up.
It's not fair to your kids. Do people stare at you guys?
Yeah, but that's just my new somebody here. Because I'm Latina.
Right.
So I don't have to come here anymore. Because I see you feel uncomfortable with some kind of different race.
You're kind of fun.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Look at this kind.
Well, I love her. She is beautiful.
Marie Sanchez speaking up for the targets of Angela's ugliness.
You cannot hurt somebody like that. So she's just African American. All of us are mothers.
I'm trying to make it
more comfortable
for all of us.
She is a beautiful woman. It doesn't matter the color of the skin. She is human. She's a woman like you.
Not like us.
And with that, she had enough.
I can't.
As we approach Marie, she's still shaking.
She's an actress.
Oh.
It was hard for you to take. And you could have just stayed quiet.
Yeah, but I couldn't because it really hurt.
Even though they weren't talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important that you get your message through to her?
Because as Gladys is saying, we are humans. We have the same rights. I mean, we can have different races. We have different types of colors, but it's all human.
Time and again, people are brought to tears by Angela's intolerance. The scenes so strong, they even affect our actress.
This is hard on you.
It's really hard. I didn't mean...
Even though you're just acting.
Mm-hmm. It's still hard because you take it in. You wear it like you put it in your heart and your soul and you try to make it your own.
No doubt it's a heavy situation. And then along comes this woman.
Can you believe that? Good looking guy like him going with a black girl. Do your parents know?
Do my parents know what?
Oh, you know what, Paige? You gotta stop. Really? You need to stop, please. That's not cool.
I'm just saying what everybody here is thinking, that's all.
You're not saying what I'm thinking? And so you need to stop. It's enough. Okay? But there's 1800s anymore.
I don't think you get it.
That's right. I don't.
But look around this place. She's the only black woman here.
So what? Are you kidding me? You know what?
I'm sure Becky agrees with me.
Do you understand? You're gorgeous. You understand?
I mean, she's pretty for a black girl, I guess.
And you're ignorant for a white girl. Now stop.
She's so upset, she calls for the manager.
Go get Becky, now.
But she finds us instead.
You didn't have to speak up.
Of course I did. You can't let stuff like that go on.
A lot of people are afraid to speak up.
A fear can stop you from doing a lot of things, but it should never stop you from doing the right thing.
You don't just say it. You don't just think it. You take action.
Otherwise, it doesn't count. Whatever you heard doesn't matter. You don't act on it.
Folks in the South condemning racism, much like it was condemned by African Americans in a barbershop in Harlem just a few months before.
Look at them. What's different? You know, it's about moving forward. Can y'all step with me? We're going to move forward, right?
One step at a time to the mountaintop. No one said that better than the Reverend King himself, right here in Memphis.
One day, God's preacher must talk about the new New York, the new Atlanta, the new Philadelphia, the new Los Angeles, the new Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, those are the kinds of things we would hope to get rid of. I mean, it's in just every institution today that you can think of, whether it's somebody who's African American or Hispanic, Asian, no matter what the ethnic group might be, there's all kinds of dispersions of discrimination thrown at them. And in every particular institution, let's give a listen to somebody dealing with college. Just a minute.
We're here in Portland, Oregon. These cops must be out of their fucking mind to actually be pulling up on me. So we're in front of PSU. I don't even know if these cops want. So you better have a good explanation for why you're approaching me.
They had a robbery like 2 blocks
out. So don't approach me. I didn't rob anyone. I'm coming from the college.
Yeah.
I'm on heightened alert, and you are being recorded.
Okay.
Why are you talking to me?
Recording.
I am the legal guy. So I don't match a description of any robbery. I'm not showing you ID and call your sergeant. I'm waiting on the train. I know my constitutional rights. Do not take another step forward, okay? You're being recorded because you guys are definitely racist. I don't fit a description of anyone. I've been here waiting on a train. So call your sergeant. We're live in Portland, Oregon. More with this racist bullshit. So everyone's being recorded now. You rolled up on me. So call your sergeant. I don't match a description of anything, and robbery from where? Because I'm coming from the college. I have alibis and multiple witnesses that says I was in PSU. I'm an affiliate of the college. So you better have a good fucking explanation to why you're approaching me. And I match the description of a robbery suspect is not fucking good enough. Because we can go right back inside PSU and everybody will tell you that I was in there on the computer. So you better have a good fucking explanation. I don't like fucking racist cops. So you better make it good because it's going to be a lawsuit in the city. I was at Miller Library. Yeah, go check. And for wasting my fucking time, I'm going to sue you. You guys are racist pieces of shit. And you rolled up on me while waiting on the fucking train. Like I said, you better make it good. And you better stay right there. Put your fucking hands where I can see them. I don't trust you racist pigs. You better make this shit real fucking good. Because it's going to be a major lawsuit. You're holding up my fucking progress. No, it's not okay.
Just right on.
No, don't ride on. These guys are racist. They said I matched the description of a robbery suspect. And I'm coming from the college. Good thing you guys did this. Because me and the professor was just talking about this racist bullshit that goes on in Oregon. He's the chair of the Black Studies Department. Good thing I have a YouTube channel. So once again, YouTube, we have officers that rolled up on me. They're with the Portland Police Department. They rolled up on me, and good thing I'm quick at the draw with the phone. They literally said I match a robbery suspect. This is the fucking game that these cops have been trained to do. When they see a black person in an area that they don't think the black person is supposed to be in. So no sirens, no loud sirens or anything. This guy has his lights on, but this is the car that approached me with his lights off. Is your sergeant coming?
No, I'm just looking you over. Because you're not wearing jeans or sweatpants. Dark jacket, beanie. Yeah. Whenever we get some of these, we try to identify anybody in the right clothing description. This guy's wearing a mask, so we don't know race or anything like that. But you're
Tell it to the YouTube channel. That's just not going to fly. So you just approach black people, hop out your car, for what reason?
Not black people who match the description.
So if the robbery suspect was white,
yeah.
I'm clearly not fucking white. So
no,
you're looking for black people.
We're looking for anyone who's matching the description.
You don't know what race he is, man. So
you're trying to tell me that you got a call.
Yeah.
I want to get this fucking right.
Go for it.
That you got a call of a robbery suspect, but no fucking color of the robbery suspect.
Guy was wearing a mask.
A mask? Do I have a fucking mask?
It could be in your bag.
Sure.
So my mask could be in my bag.
Yep. Or you could have ditched it.
I could have ditched the mask.
Well, I should say, the robbery suspect could have ditched it.
Really? You know what I think? I think you're fucking full of shit.
Well,
and I think the whole city of racist is fuck. I think Portland's racist. The whole city of Portland is fucking racist. And you cops are pathetic, bro. Because if I wouldn't have been fucking recording you,
yeah.
You would have jumped all over me, right?
No, we would have asked your name.
And I would have declined because there's not a crime that I committed.
And we would have continued on. We're looking for more people.
I doubt it. Be on your way, man. You guys are fucking pathetic, man. So I'm going to report this to the college because I'm on college property. So not only am I going to report this to the college, I'm probably going to fucking sue you for harassment.
Harassment.
This is fucking harassment.
We didn't even get out asking.
No, this guy got out, and I started recording. So if I wasn't recording, I probably would have got shot.
Because
you guys are fucking racist. You're racist.
You tried to ask his name.
You don't have the right to ask me my name. Do I match the description? No. Right. They've already determined that I'm not a robbery suspect, and they're still standing here.
No, we haven't determined.
Yeah,
so what do you want? Yeah, it is unfair. What the fuck do you want? I'm actually coming from the college. What do you want? So unless you're going to call your sergeant, leave me alone. Because I'm hopping on the train. I'm hopping on that train. I don't have time for this bullshit. You guys are pathetic. This is complete bullshit. I'm hopping on the train, buddy. So you better make this fucking shit good, because I'm willing to go to jail. And when I get out, I'm going to fucking sue you. So you better make it good. You're holding up my fucking knife. Your explanation doesn't make any sense. So if you was really smart, you would have went back to the library and checked. You guys already said on video, I don't match the description. I'm not wearing the same clothes. You've already said that. You said the guy had on jeans. I have on fucking sweatpants.
Well, we have one description that says jeans.
So why don't you go pull the video from the library?
Can I finish?
No, because you're wasting my fucking time. I'm the legal guy. You're wasting my time right now.
Out of curiosity, what is the legal guy?
I'm the legal guy, meaning I'm a fucking sue the shit out you people. You guys are ridiculous at this point.
We have another description.
That doesn't matter to me because I don't rob people, bro. I don't fucking commit crimes, bro. None of your shit matters to me. You're holding up my knife. Right. I'm trying to...
I wanted to give you an idea of how police today... And in every city in the United States and every state will profile a person of color, whether they're black or Hispanic or whether they're Chinese, no matter what ethnic group they may be, but as long as they look different, there's always somebody saying that a robbery has occurred and you're following that particular prescription. And now here's another one about Paul Butler, who is a profile on my own street. Check this out.
It's a neighborhood where I'm privileged to live, but it's an unfamiliar walk. My car. It's about 9 p.m. Streets are mostly deserted. When I get about 3 blocks from home, a police car slows down. I keep walking. The car makes a right turn and circles the block and meets me. There are 3 cops inside. Their greeting is, "Do you live around here?" I've been in this place before. I know that that's going to be the beginning, not the end of a long series of questions that I don't feel like answering. Where do you live? Kind of cold to be walking? Can I see some ID? So I asked a question instead. Why do you want to know? The 3 officers exchanged a glance. The glance is, we got a smart ass in our hands. I get that a lot. It's against the law, I asked, to walk on the sidewalk if I don't live around here. They don't say anything. I say, have a nice evening, officers, and head towards home. So the police then do this move that probably isn't technically called cat and mouse, but that's kind of what it is. They park their car on the side of the road, they turn off the lights, and they watch me walk. When I pass out of their range of vision, they scoot up to where they can see me. And this way, we arrive on the block where I live. I have a question, and so I stop. Because for once, I have the power to summon the police. Immediately, quicker even than the president of the United States, who lives about 2 miles down the road. Sure enough, as soon as I stop, car comes right up to me, and the police officers and I have this conversation, which consists mostly of questions. Why are you following me? Why don't you tell us where you live? What made you stop me? We don't see a lot of people walking in this neighborhood. Are you following me because I'm black? No. We're black, too. The answer is true. It's true, but it's not responsive. I ask the officers, have they ever been followed around? And they say yes, but it doesn't bother them because they know that they haven't done anything. They say they're suspicious because they know everyone lives in the neighborhood and they don't know me. They don't see people walking in the neighborhood. What am I doing here? I say, do you know who lives there? And I point to my house. And they say, yes, we do. And so I walk. I walk up my stairs. I sit on my porch, and I wait. I wait because I'm a professor of criminal procedure. I wait because I remember the last time when I, with different officers, when I cooperated. That was on 16th Street. They asked to search my car. I said yes. So that's what they did. Or rather, one searched while the other watched me with his hand resting on his gun on 16th Street. Cars zooming by. I pretended like I was invisible. So now the officers parked their car and positioned its spotlight on my face. All three of them joined me on my porch. Do you live here? Yes. Can we see some ID? No, you may not. During the antebellum period of our nation's history, if you were black, you had to carry proof of your status, labor-free at all times. Any black who was not supervised by a white was suspect. In North Carolina, to make it easier for law enforcement, non-free blacks had to wear shoulder patches with the word free. The District of Columbia, there was three officers sitting on my porch, say, if you live here, go inside. It's too cold to be outside. That's Ann Farm where I am. Please say, so are they. They won't leave until I either produce some ID or enter the house. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where the story gets surreal. I've been working late because I was writing a book review for the Harvard Law Review. The book, which I'm carrying in my knapsack, is Race, Crime, and the Law by Randall Kennedy. Since apparently none of us have anything better to do, I take the book out. And I say, I'm going to answer your question about why, if I haven't done anything, this bothers me. So there's a quote from Skip Gates. Skip Gates knew about racial profiling a long time before it happened to him in Cambridge. And he says, and now this is what I'm reading to the police in 1997, blacks, in particular black men, swap their experiences of police encounters like war stories. And there are few who don't have more than one story to tell. And Skip goes on to talk about driving while black. And I tell the cops, well, this is the first time I've ever heard of walking while black. I have this big picture window in my house. I turn outside. I stand in that window. I see people walking all the time. And I never see why people get stopped. And that's why I'm not going to show them my identification. This is not South Africa. This is not antebellum North Carolina. And I don't need a pass card. The cops are getting mad. They say there have been burglaries in my neighborhood and car vandalism. The police are just doing their job. And what I'm doing, I'm wasting taxpayer money. So one cop says he must be homeless. The other one thinks that I'm on drugs. The thing that they're certain of is that I don't live in the house on whose porch I sit. And they say, when they find out who I really am, I'm going to be guilty of unlawful entry, a misdemeanor. The sergeant tells me that since I'm being evasive, she's going to interview my neighbors. The two officers who remain there with me, radio for backup. They give the dispatcher the wrong address, and I correct them. A second patrol car with more officers arrived. So it is cold, but I'm stubborn. Finally, my neighbor comes out and identifies me. I'm free now, free to be left alone, free to walk on a public street, free to sit on my porch, even if it's cold. If I had a TV show, I would say, kid, don't try this at home. It's unfortunate, but a lot of other uppity black people have gotten themselves shot for less than what I did. But one reason I felt safer with these cops is because they were African-American. I didn't think that they construed me as a violent person. They thought, as they said, that I was homeless or that I was on drugs. But they didn't think that I was a threat to them. That's not what they communicated. One reason I was angrier at the cops is because they were African-American. They should have known better. So we, Before we go inside, the cops and me, we all look at my neighbor. Like he can tell us the moral of the story. What are we supposed to learn? He's black, like us. He says he's always happy to see the police patrolling our neighborhood. But he says there are a lot of white people who walk late at night, and they're not questioned about their right to be there. He tells the cops that they're always welcome to stop by his house for coffee, and then he goes home. The sergeant invites me to a crime prevention meeting at the police station in a few weeks. And then the five officers get into their two cars and drive away.
That gives you sort of an understanding of how things can get out of hand.
This particular Professor Butler just happened to be extremely knowledgeable. He's a professor of criminology, and is very knowledgeable about what to say, how to say it, and what to do, and when to do it. I wouldn't advise those of you who are listening that happen to be African-American to even attempt this process, because it is very difficult, once you get caught up in a situation, to say anything that would make the police to do some damage or harm to you physically. Now, the show is almost over, but we have had an opportunity today. I got about 9 more minutes, and I'm listening to something else, but from a judge, and also from somebody who I'm quite sure you heard of, and that is Oprah Winfrey. And so those will be the last two particular pieces that will be presented today. I'm quite sure you've heard about all of the different things that are happening now, happened before. And it will continue to happen if, in fact, you are not involved with planning, strategizing, and working with a church to deal with some of the kinds of things that are happening right now in our society. I would strongly suggest that you do that. Get yourself involved with a church. Through the church and the minister of that church, you are now being able to put something around you to protect you. Planning, development, and implementation of a strategy would be very, very helpful to you and those particular people who absolutely live in your community. And it's important that you are surrounding yourself with people who are similar to yourself and have like minds like yours. Let's listen to Oprah Winfrey and something she experienced just a minute.
But recently I was in Rome. Just last weekend I was in Rome for this event that DeQuincy Jones was having. And obviously, our show isn't on in Rome. This is so funny. So I'm at the Louis Vuitton store, and I'm with it's Reggie, who does my makeup, Andre, my best friend Gail, and Gail's daughter. And Gail's daughter was just turning 18. So I said to Kirby, we're going to go shopping, and you can have anything you want, and she deserved it. She's a really nice girl. She's just gotten into Stanford, and she's a really smart kid. So, and I know she's going to be reasonable with it. So we're at the Louis Vuitton store, and we see this cute little Louis Vuitton bag. And so she says, you know, I'd like to have that bag. And I said, okay. So we say to the sales guy, this is the bag. We'd like to have this bag. And he said, no, madame, this bag cannot be sold. This bag cannot be sold. It's impossible. It's impossible that this bag will be sold. We say, but the bag is right there. It's on the shelf. That's never happened to me, you know? And the bag said, so he says, no. This bag is for the Italian people. It's only for the Italian people. And perhaps you can go to your country and you can find the bag in your country. So then we're like, the bag is only for the Italian people? What kind of bull is that? Nobody says anything. We all just start like looking at each other. Like, did you hear what he said? Gail's like,
Gail says, they obviously don't get the hook for sure. He needs the sign. Okay, so we're stunned. So Reggie, who is a joke a minute, he goes, well, we need to go find some Italians to come in here and buy this bag. So we continue to argue with the guy, like, okay, well, what can we do? No. So we're like, well, can we see the manager? No. I cannot disturb the manager because you cannot have this bag. You cannot have this bag. So by this time, we really want that bag. This is the only bag I want in all the world. So actually what happens is he says, the four of us convince him that you need to get the manager here. So he says, I will call the manager and we can show you this bag. And he calls the manager and he's like, still we can't have the bag. So we go get our guide, Angelo, who is Italian. We bring him in. You please try to explain to the man that we like the bag, and he's Italian. So then they get into this whole big thing, and he's like, no. No. So then they bring the manager out, and the manager finally says, we can have that bag. We can have the bag. So thank you very much. So then Kirby's standing there, and she's just looking at the bag, and she says, I go, Kirby, is there a problem? She goes, well, I really wanted the brown one with the LVs on it that's in the window. And he goes, no. Impossible. There is no way we can open the front window. We cannot open the window. There's no way you can get the bag in the window. He goes, I cannot discuss it. So we're there. So I say, okay, Kirby, we're all like, you don't want this bag? We just spent a half an hour to get the bag and the manager and the Italian police and you still. He said, no, I don't want to get the bag because what I really wanted was the brown one and so I won't take it because that's not really the one I wanted. So then they go off and they have another conversation. And I think that was the Oprah Winfrey conversation that the guy had with him. So he comes back and he goes, Madame, you may have the bag with pleasure. You do, Reggie? He said,
we all will be served champagne.
Now, here Oprah is in Italy, and I don't think it had anything to do with color, but it had something to do with her being an American versus an Italian. So you have problems not only here in this country, but you have problems all over the world as it relates to what people think and how they think about what they're doing and the treatment of others. I have a little bit of time left, and I want to say something to my son, who promised me that he'd listen to the show, and that's Gabriel, that he's going into the Marines on the 8th of this month, and I wish him the best. And I hope that and pray that everything will turn out to be the way he wants them to be. Good young man with a lot of potential, and I look forward to him being successful in doing what he wants to do. So, this has been Getting It Done, and I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean, and hopefully you enjoyed the show. Be sure to listen to us again on Monday, where we will be talking about the kinds of things that are happening in our society that need to be dealt with and come up with some kind of strategies on how to make sure those things are dealt with. So I think the show on Monday will be at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6. Give a listen. Once again, this is Getting It Done. And I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean, and have a tremendously wonderful weekend. Goodbye.